flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You ready? Prime time on Conference Championship Week.
Here goes Barkley into the clear, through the snow, all the way.
This is a Conference Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Isaac and Sue on 1080.
And this one might send them to the championship game.
The Fan.
All right, nice to have you along. It's Friday out there.
Well, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. We're having a good time. Sook's out. He's in Phoenix. Barrett Jackson. Auto auction or whatever the hell they call it. I don't know. He'll be back Monday.
Yeah, cars and stuff.
Yeah. Joey Harrington next hour. That's Buckley over there.
Hi.
Are you enjoying the sunny weather? I know it's been cold, but...
Yeah.
I got up this morning and I looked outside. I was like, didn't rain again. And then I started thinking, am I taking no rain for granted here?
I'm sure you are. I mean... In January, getting no rain,
what?
That's a big win.
We haven't had rain for a while.
I know.
It's starting to spoil us.
Yeah.
I don't mind this, you know, the cold.
I like the clear and crisp.
Yeah,
quite
crisp,
a bit.
Blue sky.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Kansas.
Mm.
My homeland. Well, anyway, hope you're having a nice little Friday. I really do.
Yeah.
It's time for randoms. I saw where the odds on the Blazers landing Cooper Flagg now 10-1. Which is
not good.
Well, I mean, it's not terrible.
It's not good for...
Well, here's the context, if you want it.
Yes.
The Wizards are 5-1. The Jazz, 5.5-1. The Nets are 6-1. The Hornets are 6.5-1. And the Raps are 7-1. And then yours, hers. So if you wonder what 10-1 means, you have to bet 100 to win 1,000. So it's a long shot. Now...
And there are too many teams ahead of you.
Yeah, well, that's just it. It's like, well, you have plenty of time to plummet down the standings. Well, yes, but other teams aren't just going to let you.
They're not going to suddenly start doing the opposite of what they've been doing.
Yeah, like it's just, it's a race.
You're too late to the party here.
It's a race to the bottom and you're behind and you're not going to catch up, especially at this time of the year. And if you haven't watched Cooper Flagg yet, oh, baby. Listen, I wasn't...
Yeah, Flags!
We talked about this, back in November when college basketball just started. And he's a freshman at Duke. And, you know, it was like, I was like, these freshmen, they're kind of overrated. Not kind of. They always are. We always overrate the big name, big highfalutin freshmen, one and done guys, because they're just young. They're raw. There's a learning curve. Well, Cooper Flagg and Duke, you know, they lost a few games early. They didn't. He was like, all right, I see the potential, but soft as butter. And, you know, it was like, all right, well, we'll see where they're at come March, you know. Oh, baby. He has figured it out. I saw that he's shooting 63% in his last six games. Like,
Yikes.
They can't stop him. The college guys can't stop him. Now, he's still... You know, I mean, just think about when he gets some bulk and some muscle and just more experience, age. Dude, he is legit. And, of course, everybody's been saying that. But you know, you got to lay your eyes on him to really get it. And I'm telling you, dude, he's unbelievable. So how the Blazers didn't have a better plan to land this guy is exactly why we have no faith that they'll ever turn a corner. Because, well, a great example, look at Utah.
And don't you don't even need to, like, there's no guarantee that you can be the team to do it just through tanking. But you could put yourself in a whole lot better position, and haven't.
Well, you have to have a plan. And this is why I was going to bring up Utah. Look, Utah wasn't very good last year, but nobody had them in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes.
No.
Well, what happens? They hire Danny Ainge, and Danny Ainge isn't dumb. Danny Ainge is like, wait a minute.
Straight to the bottom, boys. Yeah,
that's right. And it's like, why didn't you do that? I don't know.
And you've got the roster to do that.
You have a better roster to do that than he did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Lauri Markkanen got hurt and then Ainge was like, okay, well, maybe we'll just shut her down. No, he had a plan. I would love to know how he went about it, but
because there's some finessing that has to be done with that.
For sure. But they have the second best odds, Utah. And that's a guy, like the NBA, that league is a league of dudes. In other words, if you get the guy, you're getting other guys. That's really it. The NFL is just so much more complex in terms of the salary cap and building out a roster. And you have to have a GM. You have to have good scout. You have to have everything.
You could dumb it down in the NBA to saying you need three good guys.
That's right.
And maybe a kind of so-so coach.
And to get three good guys, there are a handful of alphas in the NBA circles. You need one of those guys. One of them is Pat Riley. One of them is Danny Ainge. And what's crazy, and there are others, but I'm just saying that that's what you have. In the NBA, everybody knows who gets the guy. So if you get a Danny Ainge, a Pat Riley, they're going to go get the other guys. It's not Joe Cronin. No offense to Joe Cronin. He's just very inexperienced. So Danny Ainge was sitting out there. You had your shot at Danny Ainge. Now, I'm not saying Danny Ainge would have taken the job, but he has ties to Portland. Played for the Blazers. So why there was never even any mention of them trying to go after him. And now he lands in Utah and now he's playing chess. You're playing checkers. And you maybe could have had him, or you at least got to take a run at him, don't you?
You at least could have been in a better position than you're in. And you're not.
And
because
now
and that is a choice.
And now he is right in the heart of the Cooper Flagg. Like, dude, if that guy goes to Utah, gets Cooper Flagg, and they lap the Blazers, I mean, I don't know. What gives you hope? I mean,
that's a great question.
Because it's just not, I don't know, the NBA,
it's not the front office. It's not the staff. Right now, it's not the players. What would give you hope right now?
God. I mean, just a sale. I think a sale.
A change in management.
And I know people are going to try to tell you, well, a sale won't mean anything. Jody spends money. Well, yes, she'll spend. She's got dough. She'll spend it. But what good does it do if she doesn't know what she's doing?
You need a makeover from the very, very top of this organization.
I couldn't agree more. So, you know, what should the Blazers have done? Well, if they had a better plan. Now, I'm not saying that you need Danny Ainge to tank. Okay. But I just don't understand what the Blazers were doing going into this season.
I have concepts of a plan.
With Chauncey. Like, obviously, Chauncey is pissed about this tanking thing. He doesn't want to.
You're a loser.
So I think the Blazers almost had to fire. I don't know why they still have him. Why did you not? Because you have to be on the same page. Your GM all the way down, you have to be on the same page. So you got to, if the coach is going to say, hey, dude, I'm trying to win as many games as I can. Well, then he's out. And that would have been dirty, but it's a dirty business. So he's out.
Yeah, I mean.
Then you hire someone.
If he wants to do something in his first head coaching position that is counter to what you're trying to do as an organization, then you've got to part ways.
Bingo. And everybody knows he's not coming back. They didn't re-up him. So I don't know what they're doing with him. Chauncey is, you know, to me, I think he could be a really good NBA coach. I really do.
And we have no idea because he's had nothing.
He has nothing to work
consistent
with.
Consistent or, you know, worthwhile to work with.
But I think he is saying, screw you, I'm going to do my job.
And right, and you know what? That's how he gets his next job.
Exactly, and he will. And that's not, I don't know why the Blazers let him do that. So what? That's what I would have done is I would have moved on from him, hire someone who aligns with the youth movement, who won't give you the middle finger when you talk about losing, you know, a certain percentage of your games. Then you shut down Grant, Ayton, Williams. You shut them down early, and you get with them, and you talk to them about getting them somewhere where they want to be. If you had done those things, I think the Blazers would be in a better position to land this kid, Cooper Flagg. And they're going to tell you there's still plenty of time to get in position, but
no,
other teams know that. You think they're just going to let you fall to the bottom? So the Blazers can't even lose right. It's insane. It's got to be maddening for you as fans. And I think it's where the inexperience of the GM comes in. You hired a guy who'd never been a GM before. So your entire franchise, you got to be on the same page with this stuff.
Kind of rudderless.
Totally rudderless. And in this instance, it's clear that the coach and the GM aren't on the same page. And so I don't know where you go from here. And for those who don't believe in tanking, I get that point of view. I really do.
But get ready for more of this, whatever it is.
But what I would say to you is the Blazers are 16-28. Is that better than 6-38? And if you say yes, you're an idiot. Because what's the difference? You suck either way. So it pays to suck worse to get better faster. Now, there's no guarantee at all. Of course not.
But you're playing odds.
But
just
you're
like
16-28.
You talked about this earlier with gambling. You're playing the numbers. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to give yourself the best probability, the best percentage, the best opportunity.
Yes, and I think that there's a difference. It matters who is the number one pick. And no, there's no guarantee when you tank that you're going to turn it around because you may have just bad management.
But doing it last year for Anthony Richarday was not 100%. What anyone was interested in.
That's right. When there's a carrot like Cooper Flagg, you got to get your ducks in a row from the start of the season to really get down there and get that. Because that guy changes your franchise. That's the guy, not Risar. How's that guy even doing? Risar what?
Anthony Richarday.
How's he doing? Is he any good?
I don't know. Good question. I believe that the second pick, Alex Saar, is the favorite to win Rookie of the Year, not Richarday.
Okay. As I predicted.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, I scout the league, you know. Well, anyway, the Blazers. Coming up next on Randoms, I was thinking again about Ryan Day. I don't know why, but I've been thinking about him a lot.
Sounds like it.
I like Ryan Day. And I think he's a damn good coach. But I still don't really know where to classify him amongst the best coaches. So we'll get to that coming up next on The Fan. Yeah, back to college football here. Just a moment. We'll get in the news coming up next.
Maybe it's time to grab a hold of your little step ladders and go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
Well, that could very easily be Ryan Day now, couldn't it?
It very well could be. He'd have every right to say that.
I think he kind of did say that.
Yeah.
After the championship. I was thinking about him. You know, I looked up his record. You know what his record is at Ohio State?
Really, really, really good.
70-10.
Yeah.
And now he's a national champion.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I feel like we're still kind of lukewarm on the guy. I don't know why this happens with some coaches. Like, where do you rank Ryan Day? Now that he's won a championship, where is he among the best college football coaches?
Right now or all time?
Right now. The guys, well, if you look at it, Mac Brown's gone, so there's only three guys left that have won, that are active, that have won a title. And it's Kirby, Dabo, and Ryan Day.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to put Day top three.
Would you take him over Dan Lanning?
That's a tough question.
And this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's
because Dan Lanning is revered right now.
Well, it's two different questions, right?
Yeah.
It's like, if, of course he's top three because he's won a title, but, and he's 70-10. But at the same time, if I said, do you want Marcus Freeman or him? Do you want Dan Lanning or him? Do you want Kirby Smart or him?
I might.
Most people are taking.
And you might take those other people, but I also don't think you can play that game very long before he's the answer to all of those questions. Like, I would rather have him than Dabo.
Well, for sure. Yeah. I'm trying to think of...
I'd rather have him than Deion.
Outside of Lanning and Freeman, who are the kind of the hot up-and-coming guys, I don't know who else I could even throw in this combo. You know?
And that's just it. So, like, absolute worst, he's top five. And he may be better than that.
Who are the top five?
Well, I think it's the three guys you named, plus him.
You think Lanning's a top five coach in college football?
I think if everyone was starting with a blank slate and starting at ground zero right now, that yes, you would hire Dan Lanning as a top five because of the way he builds.
DeBoer? He's got to be in there, doesn't he?
He's got to be knocking on the door.
All he does is beat Dan Lanning.
Well.
Sorry, Duck guy, but it's true.
Okay, well, what did he do this year? Lost the 3-6-6 teams.
I know, but it was his first year, new program. Steve Sarkisian, is he top five?
Sark, yeah. I would probably take, that would probably round out my top five.
You'd take Day over Sark, right? Because I would.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Trying to think of who else would even be. I mean, last year it was Norvell, but he fell.
Lane?
Yeah, I like Lane.
I mean, I think everyone likes Lane, but.
I think he's good. Whittingham? Really good.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Did you just poo-poo Kyle Whittingham?
I think he's really good, but he's also been really good forever at a place where he got them into like a, I don't know, he got Utah into a really good zone. I don't know how well Kyle Whittingham works everywhere.
Bottom line, they're ass.
What about Belichick? Huh? Where's he go on your list?
They have a white running back, for goodness sakes.
Lance Leipold, he's pretty good. See, now we're getting into like, yeah.
I would take Ryan Day over Bill Belichick.
James Franklin.
I would take Day over Franklin.
Yeah. So Day, you're right. Day we've talked this out. Day is a top five guy.
Yeah.
And of course. But the Lanning Day or Freeman Day, I think a lot of people would take the young guys.
I think they would too. Is that the right answer though?
I don't know.
Who would you take?
Well, I think the thing about Ryan Day. So, by the way, Ryan Day is not that old. He's 45.
Right. He just has the beard dye and the bags under his eyes. So.
Yeah, I just think he's been. I don't know. We've seen some warts, right? But I think you got to hand it to him in terms of. And again, they're Ohio State, so they build their roster with they get a bunch of money. So I don't even know how much of it is him, but I'll use one guy as an example, and I think he's really good at this. He found Will Howard. And I think Will Howard is a guy that not a lot of other coaches really wanted. As a matter of fact, I know that. Will Howard's journey, I mean, Will Howard's from Philly, and he wanted to play for Penn State, but they didn't offer him. He had offers from like Bowling Green and Kansas State and Rutgers and Temple. And so he goes to Kansas State and he gets benched. And I was even reading that he had an NIL deal. He had one NIL deal in Manhattan for portable toilets, nice. which is about right.
Nice.
So, but Ryan Day, listen, Ryan Day had McCord. And so they really need to upgrade the quarterback position. Well, Ryan Day went and got Will Howard. And everyone was like, wah.
There's even a point this season where like,
yeah.
Is Will Howard even better than McCord?
Right. Well, his stats are pretty similar to McCord's.
Right.
And he had his bad moments. He had the slide at Oregon.
Yep.
He had the two interceptions against Michigan.
Yep.
But Ryan Day said, I was reading a story about Day and what he liked out of Will Howard. And he said he liked his feet. He liked the fact that he could run a little bit. He liked his accuracy. And he had great anticipation of throws. And he said, even though he hadn't put it all together, he really liked that combination in his quarterback, and so he took a chance on Will Howard. Well, freaking Will Howard, if you watch the last three games after that Michigan game, my God, the guy was amazing. So I think it's that. I think just roster building, Ryan Day, I'll take over Dan Lanning. I mean, I think they have pretty comparable budgets.
It'd be interesting because Day has had a little bit longer to build it up and to get them to the point
that's,
there are. And Lanning has, I would say, caught up pretty quickly, even though Lanning's not there yet. I mean, he doesn't have the championship. He doesn't have the roster that Day had. But I would say maybe in three more years, let's look and see where that is. Because right now, you're right.
I think that's fair. And it's also different at Ohio State than Oregon, even though the money is about the same now. It's still just different. Ohio State, like you said, he's had longer. It's been they're a blue blood, been that longer. So it's a tough comparison. But I just think Ryan Day should get a lot of credit for how they built that sucker. I don't know how great of a head coach he is. In other words, like being a leader, I'm taking Dan Lanning. Being the head of the program, I'm taking Dan Lanning. I love what I see from Dan Lanning on pretty much all levels.
He's great at that specific thing.
Well, Ryan Day just won the championship, so he's obviously not bad at it.
Oh, no, I know.
But I think...
But when you're talking about being the face and the one who, like... I mean, looks better in the videos that your social media team produces and stuff like that. Like, that's Dan Lanning, but Ryan Day is the one with the goods right now.
And I just think maybe it's his strength is just who to go pluck.
The text line says someone says they would take Lane Kiffin, Kurt Cignetti, who he didn't mention, and James Franklin all over Ryan Day.
Okay. That's just like your opinion, man. I think that's insane, but okay.
I definitely think the James Franklin one is insane. I don't know how you could possibly know about Cignetti. Like, if Cignetti were coaching Ohio State, maybe he's just as good as Day, but we don't know. James Madison to Indiana, like, we don't have enough evidence there. And Lane, no. Lane hasn't done what Ryan Day has done, and Lane has had ample opportunity.
I don't see it. And this is what I'm saying. That right there, that text, is why I'm fascinated with Ryan Day.
Yeah.
There's something about him that we don't trust and we don't like. I can't really put my finger on it, but got to hand it to him. 70-10.
Is it just the beard dye?
It might be. It might be just his face.
Like, if he just looked the way he was supposed to look and not all just for men, like, would we have a different opinion?
Maybe. Yes, maybe. I don't know. All right. We got to go. We're on time. Let's keep it that way.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, a little bit. For us. In the news is next, we have a very bad case of mistaken identity. And I mean very bad. That's next. Here's Buck.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back. Joey Harrington next hour, Club 1080, and then we're out of here. Should be a good, fun sports weekend. Right now it is January 24, 2025. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Right in the butt.
Today is Beer Can Appreciation Day. Do you drink a lot of beer?
No. I used to drink a lot of beer. I hardly ever drink beer anymore.
What made you change?
It seemed like it stopped jiving with my internal constitution a little bit. It just I hit a point probably around 35 where it just upset my stomach, and it upset my stomach the next day. And I also feel like a lot of these, you know, Portland beers that I loved for a long time, so much unfiltered stuff just going in there. I don't need all that stuff.
What is your go-to drink? I don't know that I know this about you, and I want to know this. What are you pouring at night when your kids go to bed?
A bourbon.
Yeah.
That would be probably number one.
Just a neat?
Yeah, rocks. I prefer, yeah, a little bit of ice.
Yeah.
Okay. A little jingle jangle.
Simple man.
Yeah, I mean, I like drinking wine when my wife is drinking wine, but I don't usually want to open a bottle for myself, and she doesn't that often either. So, and then, I mean, I also like going with just like easy classic cocktails. Like I like a gin and tonic or an old fashioned, stuff like that.
Okay. And your wife likes wine, huh?
Yeah, that's probably, wine's probably her number one. Yeah.
Well, we're not doing a very good job of appreciating the beer cans on Beer Can Appreciation Day.
No, I will say that a lot of companies have gotten quite creative with the art that they've put on their beer cans and made them a lot more appealing.
Well, I mean, how many people go to a beer, you know, like the beer case, or they do this with wine labels.
Yeah.
And they just choose by the label, like what pops
What catches your eye, what jumps out at you.
Yeah. It is also National Peanut Butter Day. I don't know how you feel about peanut butter.
Love, 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 love peanut butter.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan.
I am a huge fan.
What do you put it on?
What don't you put it on?
See, this was my question. Like, do you put it on odd things?
No, I don't put it on odd things. I mean, I like it on toast. I like it. I like it with banana. I like dipping, you know, apple and peanut butter are great together. And frankly, like, I think the best chocolate candies are chocolate with peanut butter.
Gross.
Gross?
Yeah. I don't like peanut butter with McCandy.
Okay, well, then you're an idiot because Reese's is the number one candy in the world, and there's a reason for that.
I just thought of that. You're right. And I love Reese's. What am I talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Anything peanut butter flavored, I'm usually not going to order it, but you're right. There's nothing like a Reese's.
Right.
I can't argue that. Yeah. But that I don't get the Reese's feeling out of any other peanut butter desserts or anything. Like, I don't know why. Reese's does it for me. Nothing else
Reese's
with peanut
and
butter
also
does.
Peanut butter M&Ms are fantastic.
Now, the lady at Zupan's the other night was getting on me. And she was giving me the business.
Okay.
Because I was buying organic peanut butter.
Okay.
And I don't remember how the conversation started, but she asked me, like, what are you putting this on? And I said, well, I eat sourdough bread, organic peanut butter, and I put blueberries on it.
Okay.
In the morning. She thought that was really weird.
No.
Do you think that's weird as a peanut butter guy?
No, I don't think so. I mean, if you were doing blueberry jam or jelly, that would be an open-faced peanut butter sandwich. That's not crazy at all. It's fruit with peanut butter on bread.
I guess that's true. I never thought
very normal, miss.
Yeah, well, she was giving me...
Yeah, I don't know what that's
like.
She's
like, I'm going to have to try that. I'm like, yeah, it's really good.
Now, I thought it was radical like back in the day, but now it's like, you know, bacon with everything. My parents, when I was a kid, used to like a peanut butter and bacon sandwich. They take like the leftover bacon from breakfast, throw it on a little toast with peanut butter. And the salty sweet thing. You know how people like, there's like chocolate dipped bacon and stuff like that now? Peanut butter bacon sandwich, not bad.
Really?
One of the famous burgers, Killer Burger, is the peanut butter burger.
See, that disgusts me.
Well.
And I'm disgusted right now that you even brought that up.
Well, sorry. I'm not saying that's my favorite application of peanut butter. It's far from it. But people do that.
Well, what is your favorite application of peanut butter?
Chocolate peanut butter. We were talking about desserts yesterday, and specifically pies. This place that our family, like a longtime family vacation spot down in Southern California, they make a Reese's peanut butter pie that is like graham cracker crust, like a creamy peanut butter mousse, and like a silky chocolate ganache over the top. It is unbelievable. That is my favorite.
That all sounds great except for the peanut butter.
That's where you would be wrong.
Somebody asked, Rop shopping? Yes, it is a bit of an upset, but my wife's been sick, so I've been homemaker for like 2 weeks now.
Look at you go.
And let me tell you something. I am tired of that. But I can't bitch about it, you know.
Put your big boy pants on. Rop is here.
I can't bitch about it because then if I bitch... Well, first of all, she's sick, so I didn't want to make her feel bad. But second, once she gets better and we're talking about it, I'm going to make sure I let her know how easy all that stuff was. You know, it's like, it's not a big deal. It's fine.
Yeah, don't you think about guilting me about that stuff when the roles are reversed once again.
Exactly. But I found it easy but tedious. Man, if I were single, I would live so differently.
How? How? In what ways?
Well, I don't cook. I wouldn't cook.
So would you just order takeout every night? How would that go?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Dude, I used to, before I met her, I just ate out.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll get stuff from the store.
I mean, you're also talking about, that's like what 50% of New York does.
Yeah.
New York City. I mean, like,
yeah.
Most people don't have kitchens.
It's way easier. Yeah. If I have a kitchen, it's just to store things. I'm not going to actually make something, but I can go to Zupan's and, like I said, I pick up, you know, they have the pre-made stuff and the.
Sure.
I'll get stuff like that, but I'm not making anything.
Yeah. Interesting. What else would be different about your life?
I don't think it'd be as clean. I don't think the house would be as clean. I'll tell you that.
Oh, I know my house wouldn't be as clean. I would have to hire someone.
Me too. Peace Health Southwest Medical Center is facing a civil lawsuit after allowing a Vancouver family to pull the plug on the wrong man.
No.
This is a terrible case of mistaken identity. Yes, boy. Unfortunately, this is a true story.
I sent you a different mistaken identity case. Did you see that one? It definitely wasn't this. This is a million times worse.
I haven't seen this. What are you talking about?
It was one where a guy was accused of being like a harasser on a public bus or public train or something like that. Uh-huh. And they got the wrong guy.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm not the dude who's like bugging women and being inappropriate and what, like... That guy successfully sued the police department for getting the wrong guy for like $6,000.
Did he go $6,000?
Yeah.
Did he serve time or anything?
I don't think so. I think they just, you know, they're putting him under arrest and such.
Well, that goes back to the idea that you are falsely imprisoned. That's got to be one of the worst feelings on earth.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Knowing without a doubt that you did not do the thing they have for you. And everyone else is certain that you are.
Yeah, you can't stop.
I cannot imagine.
What a terrible feeling.
Can't imagine.
Well, anyway, this is a lawsuit filed on December 3rd. The man mistakenly believed to be dead, along with his family, claimed they suffered mental and emotional pain. The son of the man who died is also a plaintiff in the Clark County Superior Court case. So this was first reported last year. Quite a medical mix-up. The state investigated. The confusion started with a 911 call on August 8th of 2021, where medics responded to an apartment in Vancouver where David Wells was unconscious and not breathing after choking while eating dinner. Oh, God. Talk about another terrible feeling. Choking. Alone.
I mean, even choking when people are around, as you can attest, not great.
An ambulance transported him to Peace Health Southwest Medical Center in Vancouver. Okay, somewhere along the line, Wells was misidentified as his roommate, Michael Beeler. As a result, the hospital incorrectly treated Wells as Beeler. Peace Health then called Beeler's family to make end-of-life decisions. They basically said he was brain dead. Do you want us to keep him on life support or do you want us to pull the plug? Well, they made the difficult decision to pull the plug.
At the same time, now I'm just thinking, but what a come up for that family who then finds out that their son isn't actually dead. He's fine, right?
Yeah.
If they got the roommate wrong.
Yes, but they killed the other guy.
Yeah, horrible for that person. but at least the family they got called, their kid isn't actually dead?
Nope. No. They said that they found out because he then... So she says, pull the plug. She makes funeral arrangements. She lets all the family members know about his death.
Oh, I can't.
And then he calls his sister.
From beyond the grave.
From the beyond.
I can't imagine.
And she says, you can't be alive. You're dead. They pulled the plug.
What do you mean, like, I'm dead? I'm fine. My roommate's dead.
Yeah,
what?
He's like, oh, I'm not dead. I'm not dead yet.
The text line correctly points out, I think that dead guy needs to call the advocates. Or at least his family.
Right. I think that's right. So the Clark County Medical Examiner then goes and gets the body and fingerprints, and they confirm that the deceased man was Wells, not Beeler.
Brutal.
So then they call Wells' kid, who lives in California, and he says, they basically told me there was a medical emergency regarding my dad. He had been pronounced dead. That's what they told him. It wasn't until the news contacted the kid, and this was 2 years after they killed Wells, that he learned about this mix-up. So they tried to dupe the kid, saying, "Up, he died. Sorry, nothing we could do." They didn't tell him they accidentally pulled the plug. on the wrong guy.
Wow. Yeah.
So KGW apparently was the one that informed the kid that, that there was a medical mix-up. And he says, I'm at a loss for words at how badly they handled this. I'll never be able to get that decision back. And they have all filed separate lawsuits against the ambulance company, the funeral home, and the medical examiner's office. Crazy story. And, of course, peace out.
Man, what?
I think that's really all you can say is,
Yeah, I've heard of, like, I mean, my mom was a nurse in a hospital for 20-plus years, and I've heard of them getting patients in the same room wrong and, like, giving someone the wrong medication, which can be, you know,
yeah,
can kill somebody, but pulling the plug on somebody whose family didn't even ask for it, that is... Yeesh.
Coming up next, Portland meets Spot. Spot, welcome to Portland. In the news continues next on The Fan. Yeah, a lot of people are confused by our mistaken identity death news from KGW. And I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of confused by it too. It sounds like, the question is did they pull the plug on the guy who died? So they got the name wrong. They pulled the plug on the wrong person.
The wrong roommate. Or so we're told.
But was that guy was still brain dead? That's what's confusing. It's like,
because, yeah, you said they were making end of life preparation. So like, even if they don't pull the plug, like,
right,
he still suffered this horrible thing and he wasn't coming back from.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean,
I get.
But it's just,
they were both brain dead? I don't know.
What? Oh, I don't know.
I don't understand. I don't have the brain power to understand. I'm too stupid. But you knew that.
Oh.
Hey, what do you think about robotic police dogs? How do you feel about that?
I'm going to say no.
Is that hot?
No. Well,
because you've seen these.
I remember that there was that Black Mirror episode where they had those little animatronic ones. It was all black and white, and it was terrifying. The dogs just chased that woman the whole episode.
Yeah, there's a new Portland police dog, and his name is Spot. And he is a robot dog. He is made by Boston Dynamics. He is extremely agile.
They make the good ones. They make backflipping robots and
stuff. Yeah, he can scale different terrain, walk up and down stairs, pick up items, open doors. He can be used to help with bomb disposals.
Can he sniff for the bombs too? Probably.
And during hostage situations. Yeah, they said that he's a big improvement over their current robots, which move on tracks and can't really get up if they tip over. So if Spot falls down, Spot gets up on his own. And he costs $150,000 to get Spot.
Money well spent?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Again, too dumb.
I kind of feel like, you know, 6 or 10 actual police dogs might be better than one robot police dog, but I don't know.
I think it's amazing what they do with dogs, you know?
Yeah.
They train dogs, but Spot, you know, if they're robot, I don't know. I guess he can drag up to 50 pounds. He's very strong. He can't, like, confront anyone. See, that's where you lose me, because it's like you can train a Bull Rover to go take a perp down. That's what they do. Take perps down. This can't.
Can you not program it that way? Or they just haven't built one that's capable?
I don't know. But they said that his presence, though, is intimidating. He's very creepy. But he can't really confront you. But he's going to keep you safe. So, welcome to Spot, new Portland police dog. And finally, Buck, how many times have you, especially you, because you live out west, have you driven by or been in the Fred Meyer on Walker in Beaverton?
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
Oh, that's the one I go to.
Main one. It's right there on 158th and Walker.
Yeah.
It's right across from the Tualatin Hills Rec Center.
Yep.
It turns out that $328 million Powerball prize
was sold
in there.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, that's cool.
January 17th. So that would have been last Friday. Did you go in there last Friday?
Actually, I take that back. That's not the one I go to. Oh. I thought it was. It's not. I go to the one on Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. But I know where that one is.
I do, too. Been by it many times.
Yep.
A lot of people out that way. Just think. Every time you're driving by there leading up to... Or, like, just say you were over there last week. Last Friday. Sitting right over inside there is a $320 million lottery ticket.
That's crazy, man.
It's wild, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's two jackpots in Portland
in a year. Really yeah. recently.
Yeah, the other guy, the $1 billion, he was up in North Portland. It's crazy.
Was that the dude who was...
It's crazy.
Was putting the tickets underneath his pillow and praying about them?
Yes. I think he has cancer, I think they said.
I think you're right.
These people are crazy. There's something wrong with them.
And that... Oh, so we know that the winning ticket was sold there, but we still don't know who won it. Although they say that the winner has come forward, so we'll know soon. And it's probably... Like, who lives in Beaverton? Dusty? You?
Could be Dusty.
Who else lives out there? Sprague live out there?
I think Rust does. That direction, I think.
Yeah. Could be Rusty.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. If there's anyone at the Fan besides me that I'd want to win the lottery...
Rusty's a great
call. I think Jeff Rust might be my pick. I want that for him.
I want that for all of us.
I do, too. Of course, if anybody at the Fan won that big of a lottery, don't you think they would take care of all of us? Like, I would. I mean,
probably.
Know, I mean, I can't give you all life-changing...
Maybe. Depends who it is. Depends who it is.
Yeah?
I think there'd be a couple people that say, I bought the ticket, not you.
Yeah? You wouldn't take care of your...
I mean, I might, but like, I mean, let's just...
Yeah,
when's the last time I even interacted with Dirt and Sprague? I love those guys, but
giving them a little love.
But I can think of 20 people in my life who I would give a little love to before them. Not because I dislike them.
I know, but you know, we're all one.
You gotta
here.
Be careful when you're assembling the Jamarcus Russell group of hanger-ons. You know.
Well, it wouldn't be a hanger-on thing as much as it would
be... You start dishing out millies and salaries and stuff, and
well, I don't know about millies.
Trouble.
I don't know about millies, but I think you could. Yeah, you got to kick a little, hey, you know what, we're all in this together. Enjoy your time on the station. I'm out of here. Here's a couple hundred grand or something.
A couple?
So I mean, I don't know.
Okay, so there are nine regulars for each show. I mean, two hosts and a producer.
Okay. Yeah, what? It's like, where's the cutoff?
Well, So now I'm shelling out a couple hundred grand to eight of you fools? No.
I think it would be a nice thing to do.
Of course it would be a nice thing to do. I can't be giving 100 grand to everybody, though.
All right. I would.
I didn't say I wouldn't give it to you.
Apparently I'm more generous than you, ass.
Yeah. I doubt that.
I think that would be a good feeling to just come in one day, nobody knows I won the lottery, and I just cut checks.
And then the company's just screwed because they don't have programming anymore.
That would be actually funny.
So there
I love the station.
I heard a story about this. There was a small, like, I guess, small to, like, mid-level cheese-producing company, and they only had, like, 40 or 50 employees that worked in their, like, production warehouse where they made the cheese. And they did one of those things where they all kicked in money.
And they won the lottery.
And they bought like 300 tickets or whatever it was, and everybody was in for 20 or 25 bucks. And they won the thing, and everybody was going to quit. And the company was like, we will have to go out of business if you guys all quit right now. You please let us figure out a plan here first. And
they
eventually did figure it out, but those those cheese workers had to hang on for a little longer than they wanted to.
What if there were openings at the Fan for every on-air spot because we won the lottery.
I'd imagine you'd have quite a few applicants.
That'd be wild, yeah. That's your In the News, Jan 24, 2025, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 is next, followed by Joey Harrington on the Fan.